Hello, everybody. Welcome to the OETA Movie Club podcast. My name is Jeff Moreva. I direct the show each week, and I'm here with our host, Mr. Robert Burt.
Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. We got a good movie to talk about today. We come to you each week. We talk about our upcoming movies. When I say our upcoming movies, I mean the movies we show on Saturday nights at 9 o'clock on the OETA main HD channel. Every Saturday night at 9, you can see us there. And this week we've got a coming-of-age story, Man in the Moon.
Now, you know, when I first heard about this, I thought it's Man on the Moon.
Right.
Right, that would be the Andy Kaufman,
Andy Kaufman film, right,
Jim Carrey. But this is different. It's 1991.
Right.
And this is, like you said, a coming-of-age film starring Reese, a very young Reese Witherspoon.
Her film debut.
Yeah.
14.
She actually... she went to an open audition in Nashville for extras, which are just, you know, the people in the background or whatever. And she was so good, apparently, that she scored the leading role in the film.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's her picture on the poster.
That's right. She was 14 at the time. The character she plays is 14. That in itself is super rare.
Yeah.
You never see, you know, usually it's 25-year-olds playing 14-year-olds.
Right.
Or whatever, or 14-year-olds playing 20-year-olds.
I was just reading the other day, Grease, right? Most of Stockard Channing was in her 30s, and she's playing a high school kid.
Yeah. One of the most successful high school TV shows ever, Saved by the Bell. It was all played by 20-something. Dawson Creek, all played
Zach
by 20-something.
In his 40s, right?
Yeah.
Screech is 72.
72. That's right. So this movie, it's a coming of age story. It takes place in 1957 when Elvis was king.
That's what it says on the poster.
That's right.
Right. 1957.
Elvis
does not appear in this film.
He does not appear in this film. They could not get him to appear in this in 1991 for some weird reason.
Well, he's still alive. He's out there somewhere.
That's right. He's here somewhere. He might be in this studio for all we know.
Really?
Keeping an eye on us.
Where?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Reese Witherspoon, this is her big debut, and she's really very good in this.
Yeah. Her and Jason London.
Uh-huh.
Now, Jason London, until I watched the movie again, I didn't recognize the name, but I definitely recognize his face. You'll recognize him right away.
Yeah.
He's
he
in
plays
this.
The boy that moves in next door.
Yeah, so a boy moves in next door. This teenage girl has to kind of come to terms with her
new emotions
about this.
Yeah, it's all new. You know, she discovers love.
Exactly.
It's very sick.
So it's I just found out that Jeremy London, Jason London's identical twin brother, used to fill in for him.
I
didn't know he had a twin brother.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times he's filled in for him that we don't know about.
Right.
Paparazzi is getting pictures of him. They don't even know it's not him.
I just don't want to go out there again. They're going to
take pictures of me. Hey, brother, I'll pay you $20. Go out the front door. Go get me Taco Bell.
Did you know? Okay, so my sister and I, we were in Hawaii. This was 91.
Yeah.
We took our mother to Hawaii
because
every time a palm tree came on TV, she would go, oh, Hawaii, I just want to go there someday, you know. So when we put together enough money, we said, we'll take Mom to Hawaii. So we went to Hawaii. We were staying at a hotel on Waikiki Beach.
Yeah.
And my sister and I are sitting at this bar. It's at the Sheraton Moana Surfrider, and it's this bar that's this special kind of tree that they have in Hawaii. It's huge. And it covers this entire bar complex. I mean, when I say bar, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
And there's these three guys sitting at the end of the bar using the house phone to call girls. And we could hear them, you know, they're trying to get girls to come down to join them for a drink.
Right.
And they're striking out, you know, call after call, they're striking out. And, we're sitting there, and the guy that's using the phone, that's doing all the talking, I turn to my sister and I go, you know that guy, he looks a lot like Keanu Reeves. And she goes, yeah, he kind of does, doesn't he? And so we were sitting there for a little while longer. I guess after a while, you know, we're kind of eavesdropping, but we're having our own conversation.
Right.
And at some point, both of us go, that's him.
Right.
Right. And they never did get a girl to come down to the bar. So they're like, they start telling them, well, we're having a party up in our room. You know, why don't you come to our room and we'll, you know, we're having a party. Come over. And they get up and leave, or they're getting up to leave, and this guy is walking up off the beach to, you know, up the steps to the bar and walking over to the guys, and Tracy says, is that who I think it is? And I said, yes, and we thought it was Patrick Swayze.
Right.
And after they left, the bartender says, no, that's his brother. They're in town shooting something, and his brother is a stuntman. Doing
right.
stunts for Patrick Swayze. That's and they were there, obviously, shooting Point Break.
Point Break, yeah.
But, cool. You know, we got this, you know. And we never did find out where that party was.
He never said his room number loud enough.
You're right. Yeah, we would have paid it. Of course, I think it was probably on one of those floors where you have to use a key,
probably,
you know,
yeah,
to get to.
Get
to
it, but, yeah. Probably so. Probably
in the
so.
Elevator.
Yeah. That's funny.
Now, this takes place... Not in Hawaii. They didn't. They shot this in Louisiana.
Louisiana. Natchitoches, Louisiana. Which is not spelled like Natchitoches at all.
I thought it was Nacogdoches, but...
Right, and the only reason I know is because I've been there.
Uh-huh.
I've been there twice, actually, driving back from Louisiana. I mean, driving back from New Orleans, Louisiana. Uh-huh. And from my house... To New Orleans, you pretty much have to drive straight through Natchitoches to get here. And they shot Steel Magnolias there in 1989. My wife, who's a has done
An
local
actress.
Done local acting for a long time. She hasn't done it in a while, but she did it for a long time. She has played like 6 of the 8 roles in the Steel Magnolias stage version.
Uh-huh.
And so she was just joking. She was like, hey, we should stop by and see if they have anything, you know, special, take a picture in front of, you know, kind of thing. And we get there, and it's this little beautiful downtown.
Huh.
And it's full of antique malls, antique shops, little mercantile stores, mom-and-pop shops, you know. And
those trees with the Spanish moss.
Yeah.
Antebellum houses with the columns in front. I'm just picturing it, right? I'm like,
you're pretty close. You're pretty close.
Uh-huh.
But there's a river that runs down the whole town, and that's where they shot like a couple of the scenes at the end of Steel Magnolias where they're walking by the river. And,
it's been a while since I've seen that.
Yeah, it's
been
a
long time.
It's been a while since I've seen it, too. But
I saw it in the theater, so it tells you how long. 1989.
So we've been through there a couple times, and they will quickly correct you that it's pronounced Natchitoches. Louisiana.
Louisiana.
And it was a cool little town. We had fun there, and...
But apparently, when Steel Magnolias was shooting there.
Yeah, apparently the locals didn't have a good experience, so they hired a lot of locals as extras, as they usually films do when they're
on location. I don't remember what scenes those would have
it's
been.
It's probably like the funeral scene at the end, picnic scenes, school scenes, you know, stuff like that when they're.
But they ticked off the extras.
They ticked off
the
extras somehow.
And so they weren't in much of a mood to help out with this film.
With this film, which was shot there 2 years later in 91.
Uh-huh. But apparently all's forgiven, or at least they forgot about Man in the Moon.
Man in the Moon apparently treated him right.
Yeah,
they treated him right. So, but Steel Magnolias apparently did not. So I don't know. I want to know the story behind that, but it doesn't say. It just says... I think the exact phrasing is they felt they got burned after the producers came into town with Steel Magnolias.
Right.
I want to know what that means. Well, so, but anyway.
You keep talking. I'll look it up.
You look it up. I want to talk real quick about the airline version of this film.
Of course, they're very important.
They're very important airline versions.
We talk about that. You know, I just forget.
Well, this is the most. This is a ridiculous story.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the airline version of this film.
Uh-huh.
Which, do they even show movies on planes anymore?
Of course, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
I haven't flown so long past like a 4-hour flight to Vegas or wherever. Uh-huh. I haven't flown more than like 3 or 4 hours in a plane in a long time.
Right. Well, but most people are watching on their phone.
On their phone. That's what I mean. Everybody has their own phones now and everything. I was like, do they even play movies anymore?
Uh-huh.
Well, in 91, they did, or 92, whenever this was. And the airline version of this film was disowned by director Robert Mulligan because his name.
Disowned?
He was replaced with R. Duffy.
Uh-huh.
Don't even know where that's coming
from.
The airline version was heavily censored. all instances of children swearing was cut out, and all scenes of the very tame PG-13 nudity were removed.
Uh-huh.
And then they replaced the director's name.
At his request. Yeah.
And
I mean, you've got to do pretty bad to have the director say, take my name off of that.
So
for the airline version.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even think about it. You know, when you're flying, you're just glad to have something to watch.
Right.
And I don't really think, well, maybe it's heavily censored, but maybe they do.
I guess they have to edit it because there's children on board and whatnot.
But you're listening through headsets, so it's not like, you know, it's out, you know, in the cabin where, you know, all the cursing would be. So, I don't understand.
I don't know.
The nudity was good.
Yeah. And it's barely nudity.
Yeah, PG-13.
It's very PG-13 nudity. Uh-huh. We're not seeing any, you know, full frontals of anybody or anything.
Well, and Reese Witherspoon, right, she's 14 in this.
Yeah.
And there's like a skinny dipping scene.
Yes.
But in this, she's like wearing a skin-colored bikini.
Yes.
As she jumps out and runs into the woods.
Yes.
Now she did a scene.
And there was a stunt double for that, Like there's one stunt double when she goes, I think, into the water. There's a stunt double for her that one. I think it shows her butt or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
But then
a couple of years later, after she became, it was more than a couple of years, but once she was of legal age, she did because
we were talking about this. You thought it was it's called Twilight.
Right.
And
I just assumed it was the vampire film.
The vampire film, right? And it's like Twilight. Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's pretty new compared to when she would have been just coming of age or whatever. And so I had to look it up on IMDb. It's a movie called Twilight, but it is not the vampire Twilight. It is Paul Newman, Gene Hackman, Susan Sarandon, and it's a detective movie. It actually sounded pretty good. Yeah. I kind of want to see it. But
maybe someday soon.
Maybe someday we'll get to show it. But it was not the vampire Twilight, unfortunately. She does not get to, like,
I was just thinking, well, you know, she's of age. You know, she'd have to, you know, be much older.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd never heard of this other
I hadn't either. I had never heard of it.
Yeah.
I had to look
Paul
it up.
Newman. But, I'm a Paul Newman fan. I love Susan Sarandon and
Gene Hackman. Yeah.
I mean, you've got a great cast.
It's a good cast, yeah. I'm going to have to check it out, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to say before we go, we're starting to run short on time. This is the final film directed by Robert Mulligan before his death on December 20th, 2008.
And he had quite a career.
To Kill a Mockingbird?
Right.
I mean, that's a huge film to have under your credit.
And Summer of 42.
Summer of 42.
Which, you know, not a lot of it. You know, it's largely forgotten, but that's a really,
great
really
movie.
Good film.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, this movie's well directed.
Last time I saw Summer of 42, there's just a little scene in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right?
Oh,
where it's on the TV as Richard Dreyfuss is building he's sculpting in his living room, you know, wife has left him taking the kids, and he's, you know, there's all kinds of TV that's going on. There's a Bud commercial, there's news briefs, you know, and then there's this clip of Summer of 42.
Well, check this movie out if you haven't heard of it, because it's really good. It's well directed, it's well acted. Reese Witherspoon, you wouldn't know this was her first movie. She's she's very great in it. Jason London's great in it. Jim Waterston.
Sam.
Sam Waterston. His brother.
Jim is very, didn't get a lot of work.
Didn't get a lot of work, but, you know. God, why can't I remember these names? Sam Waterston.
Yeah. He's good. He's the guy from Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Yeah.
Been in it for 50 years.
Yeah. It's funny. If you look up on IMDb on almost any actor and look at their credits, they have done an episode.
They've done an episode of Law and Order. Yeah. One of the Law and Orders. Oh, I know. It's crazy.
It used to be the Love Boat or Love American Style, right? Before that, now it's Law and Order.
Law and Order. Yeah. Everybody at the beginning of their career, Bradley Cooper. I mean, there's so many people that I've seen Law and Order credits.
I played
a
killer on Law and Order back in 1997.
I played a distraught parent. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's our time. Let me, before we go, I want to give a shout out to our celebrity photo.
I'm sorry to do this.
Okay. Uh-oh.
I have this now. Shot in the small Louisiana town of Natchitoches. Reportedly, the filmmakers made so many demands of the locals, particularly those who volunteered to be extras, that when Man in the Moon was shot in the same time... Oh, I stopped it for that? Really? Okay. Yeah, that's all it says. It doesn't say what demands of them.
They demanded they burn the town down.
I am sorry to have interrupted that.
No, you're fine. You're fine. We need to know these things.
Well, it didn't tell us any more than what we already knew.
It told us a lot.
They made demands.
They made demands.
Yeah.
Unjust demands.
Unjust demands.
Yeah. Okay. Which is actually not a terribly uncommon thing. I've heard of in the business a little bit. You go shooting these small towns and they'd kind of take over the town. And it might not be making demands, but it's just getting in the way of local traffic and that kind of stuff. People get annoyed all the time with that kind of stuff. I think it's cool.
I froze my butt off out filming all day. It was probably 8 hours of filming for Stillwater, the Matt Damon film.
Right.
And, it's freezing cold, and we're all supposed to be in short sleeves it's supposed to be the summer. And we shot it out at the FAA Center inside a hangar where the one side is open.
Right.
And they cut that to probably about 3 seconds. That whole, it was a very long scene, and they cut it to practically nothing. And I was not in that 3 seconds. So,
Oh, well. Win some, you lose some.
Some of us, we probably would not have been so happy if Man in the Moon had come just 2 years later.
Right, exactly. All right, I want to give a quick shout-out to our celebrity photo person. I apologize if I mispronounce your name. I believe it's Zoe Gimple.
Uh-huh.
Gimple.
Uh-huh.
She sent in a photo with Tom Cruise with her sons, who are both doctors now.
Yeah.
In the picture, you can't see it, obviously, in the podcast, but hopefully you tune in this weekend to see it. In the picture, they're babies.
Yeah.
And this is taken in 1987, I believe, when they do Rain Man.
Yeah.
89, 87, 85, whenever the hell that was.
I can't play this on the airline.
yep. Whenever they shot Rain Man in Oklahoma.
If you see the picture, I believe it looks like they're on the porch of the house. Yeah. Where they pull over to watch Wapner.
Right.
They pull over to watch, The People's Court.
I love that movie. We've shown that movie a couple times.
It's a little town just outside of Hinton.
Yep.
It's a little house outside of Hinton on the highway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a great celebrity photo of her with her kids and Tom Cruise. And we're really grateful she sent it in. And if you have a celebrity photo that you would like to send in, please do. There'll be a tag at the end of this podcast with the address. You can email them to us. That's the easiest way. And we'll get them on the air. We're actually pretty backed up right now. I think I've got through May or June.
Yeah.
So they're getting pretty stacked up. But we always love getting those. And when you send those in, send it in with a story.
Yeah.
And let us know all the details about how you met the person and all that kind of stuff.
It just makes it so much better.
It does. It makes it a great story.
Yeah. I'm just saying, here's me with Sam Waterston.
Yeah.
You know.
And his brother Jim.
Yeah. We were at a gas station. It's Jim.
It's Jim. All right. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in each week and watching the movies and tuning in each week and listening to us make fools of ourselves here. Until next week, everybody, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. You can preview all upcoming OETA Movie Club films at oeta.tv/movieclub. And please, send your celebrity photos to P.O. Box 14190, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73113, or you can email them to us at oeta.tv/movieclub. And of course, tune in every Saturday night at 9 and on Fridays at 11. We'll see you on the couch every weekend for a great movie and fresh popcorn.